Let me pick up where I left off here. We're just getting into exponentials and logarithms. All right, so for small changes, you have the differential, which approximates stuff. And then on one hand, you have how things change, but you can also say change compared to what it was. That's the relative change. All right, the change is, remember, it's the new minus the old. So the relative change is new minus old divided by old. And if you multiply by 100%, which to a mathematician is just a very fancy way of writing 1, you have the percentage change. And these things, right, you can approximate them using differentials. And let's see. Very quickly, if u is 5 and delta u is minus 0.1, then u plus delta u is the new value, right? That's 4.9. So that's an absolute change, right? That's another word we use for just new value minus old value, the absolute change. Change of minus 1. The relative change is when you just compare the change to the old value. So that would be 0.02, right? With a minus sign in front. And in percentage terms, that would be a negative 2% change. Now, we were talking about exponentials and logarithms, and so what they do is they convert relative and absolute changes. Back. Okay, that's a dead marker. Try. Okay. So. The differential of a logarithm is equal to the relative approximate change, or using the differentials. And that should be approximately, the exact relative change for small changes, right? And we can check this out. Might want to get out a calculator. You can see this for yourself. Let's say we use our example from here. Okay. So we take the logarithm. Okay. And so there's going to be two things here. I guess there's kind of... I want to write one more thing here, but need to move this over a little bit, right? Because there's two differentials here. So there's two approximations. So here, let me fix it. We also want to talk about this change, right? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So there's actually two approximations we're going to check here with the calculator. Okay. All right. So this one, in this example, we're just going to, I've given you the change in U, so we can just use that as a perfect approximation. So this approximation here is not very interesting because I actually gave you the change. But this approximation, the change in the logarithm, the absolute change in the logarithm, that's a little more interesting. So we'll see about that. Okay, so the old u value was 5. So the old logarithm of u value, right, will be logarithm of 5. Okay. So the change in the logarithm is going to be new minus old, right? So we're going to be looking at the new logarithm, the logarithm of 4.9, minus the logarithm of 5, the old logarithm. New minus old. Okay. What is it? Let's see what my calculator says here. So, logarithms convert. You take what was a relative change here, a percentage change, if you convert it into percentage terms, and then if you look at it in terms of logarithms, what was percentage change now becomes an absolute change. Right? I didn't divide by the old logarithm here. I just subtracted logarithms.
Sir,
yeah.
What's considered a small change? Like rule of thumb?
It's basically it depends on the functions, right? And it depends on how good you want the approximation to be. So there isn't a simple answer to that question. There is kind of an abstract promise of if you make the delta u, if let's say you wanted, you know, this approximation to be really good, right? Like you want it to be correct to 8 decimal places, not just to, you know, 3 decimal places, right? Well, the promise is that if you made that delta u really, really small, then the differentials would give you things to 8 decimal places. How small depends on which function we're talking about and where we're and which point we're plugging in, but if you make it small enough, it should be really good. And we did a bunch of stuff in the first homework set and in the first day of class with like a spreadsheet and looking at how the errors get smaller. The fancy way of saying is that in the limit, that error fraction goes to zero, right? As the input change approaches zero, the error in approximating the output change divided by the input change goes to zero. Unfortunately, there's not a simple answer, but if the approximation is not good enough, make the changes smaller. Right.
That's if you want to be very, very, very detailed on your approximation. Yeah. Very specific.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have a calculator. We can get the logarithms. If you need the exact change, get the exact change, right? Your calculator has a way of, computing the logarithm very accurately.
Right.
turn this around. Let's go the other way now with exponentials. Okay. So now, so things are going to work the other way this time. Instead of turning relative changes into absolute changes, we're turning absolute changes into relative changes. See what I mean here? Okay, so I'm going to use the same example. Okay? Let's see. So these are both just going to be the negative 0.1 again, okay? And we're going to use that same change here. So the interesting question will be, how good is an approximation of this? Let's see. Okay. All right. So relative change of the exponential. Okay, so we're going to do new minus old, and we're going to divide by the old value. So e to the 4.9, that's the new value, minus e to the 5 over e to the 5. That's the 0.1 here. It's supposed to be the BU. Oh, it's a little bit different. It's all right. So that's how these approximations work, and often the nice thing about them is that it's not so much that I have these simple approximations, so much as you can use these as simple models of things. Okay. So a very common thing that we do, where we use a bit of calculus, is if we're modeling, say, exponential growth or exponential decay. Right? This happens a lot if you're imagining, in finance. I think this currency is going to depreciate, inflate at 2% per year for the next 10 years. So what's going to happen? Right? Things like that. Here's a simple thing. Don't need to know anything about currencies or exchange rates or inflation. Just a simple concept. U.S. population. Okay? We were looking at that last time, right? Here's an example. Simple question.
Okay?
Yeah.
Will your test questions look like that? And will they be like different types of questions or just the general find this derivative?
It's going to be a mix of both. You know, I mean, I think it's some good practice to, you know, be able to do one of these, find the derivative, plug in some numbers, get compare changes and approximate changes, and then you do need to apply it. So, you know, I'm trying to give you a mix of those things in class, a mix of those things in a homework. So, you should expect a mix on the test. Some of those differential problems I gave you for homework were like really complicated, though. I'm not going to put something that complicated on the test, right? You should think of those really complicated things as like a 10-part problem I gave you, right? Yeah. Instead of 10 problems. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, understand this, we think about it this way. We have, we think about this 1% per year, we think of it in terms of differentials. So we have 1%, which is 1/100th or 0.01, right? Is supposed to be the change in, I don't know, we'll call it population P, right? Okay. Now, what are we supposed to do with that? The issue is that the population changes one year, that changes again the next year, and so on. Okay? But with logarithms, you can think of this as an absolute change. When you put it in terms of logarithms, what was a relative change becomes an absolute change. Now, I guess I've lied here a little bit in that it's not really 1%, it's 1% per year, right? Okay, so what I'm going to do with this now is I'm going to say, okay, how does the logarithm change? It's really going to be 50 years times 1% per year. Okay? Let's see what that means. So, 50% or 0.5. So we're thinking of it, the logarithm changes by 0.5. Okay. So, what's the old logarithm? It's the logarithm of 321 million, say. I was looking at some census 2014 projections, what they think the U.S. population is this year. I think they said it was like 321 million. So, okay. Logarithm of 321 million.
Are you taking the natural logarithm here? 19.58695, etc. Okay? It's the new. Add a 0.5.
because the change was 0.5, absolute change. Okay, so what's that going to be? That's going to be, well, I mean, add the 0.5, so I guess it's going to be 20.08695 something. Yeah, my calculator agrees. Okay, so the logarithm of the population was about 19.5, now it's about 20.
Okay, so what's the new population estimate? Yeah?
What is it, 20 what?
20.08695.
Well, what does it represent?
It represents the natural logarithm of the population.
We talked about this briefly last time, so you don't have to think back to
pre-calculus course or some point where you talked about logarithms. It undoes the exponential, right? So like, if you take a big number and you do its exponential, you get a really big number. Logarithms are backwards. So a really big number has a logarithm that's not so big. You know, it's still big, but not really big. Okay?
So, like, e to the 19.58, etc., is 321 million. The new population will be e to the 20 point something, because the exponential undoes the logarithm. Okay? Million. Right. If you believe that the population is going to increase at a rate of 1% per year. So, if you're thinking in terms of like what we were doing last time, like continuously compounding versus, say, quarterly compounding or annually compounding, this model is a continuous model. We're thinking of many, many tiny changes. Like over each tiny time increment, over each hour, there's a tiny population change that happens at this rate. And we keep making those changes, like in continuously compounded interest, or what you might really get at some savings account, daily compounded interest, right? Where every day, which is relatively short compared to a year, you get a teeny bit of interest, and it keeps compounding. This is the continuous model, right? If you had been thinking in terms of a kind of more discrete model where somehow, okay, it's January 1st, 2016, there's 321 million people, and then all of a sudden, January 1st, 2017, bam, there's 1% more people than there were before. And then, bam, January 1st, 2018, there's 1% more people than there were a year ago. That would be a more discrete model. You take big steps, one after the other, and there's big gaps between them. That kind of discrete model would suggest you would do 321 million times 1.01 to the 50th power, right? There isn't a huge difference in the predictions, though. The discrete model, this would be like, say, annually compounded interest. You'd say the initial population, imagine annually compounded interest, this, that kind of thing. So you take 1 plus the 1%, 0.01, right? And so you multiply by 1.01 50 times, right? And that's 527 point something million, okay? They're about the same. Continuously compounded exponential growth is a teensy bit faster than something where it's only compounded, say, once per year, or
something like that. That's how it gets used in models, is to simplify things. Let me see here. Are there any questions or comments about this kind of stuff? Okay. So just remember, exponentials and logarithms undo each other, right? Caveat is that the logarithm of x is only defined for x positive, but each of the x is defined for all x. So you can go back and forth. Now, bring this one down, I guess. Okay, let me do some differential computations now. Make the formulas slightly more complicated. So we have kind of these. Here's an example. Okay. So let me start with some rules here. So remember, I said that you have the relative change of exponentials. That's equal to the absolute change of what you put into the exponential. Now, you can rewrite this rule, right? Multiply both sides by e to the u, okay? And now you have a formula for the absolute change of the exponential. It's the approximate absolute change of the exponential is just the exponential times the approximate change of the input to the exponential. The logarithm rule, we've already got it written in a form where it's going to tell you the differential of the logarithm. I haven't made any changes there. So we can apply this. Here's an example. Let's say I want to get the differential of x squared plus x. More complicated now, because now the thing inside the exponential there has gotten a little more complicated. So we have to think of the order of operations and then work backwards, right? If you were going to compute this, first you would square the x, then you would add that to the x, and then you would take all that and take the exponential. That'd be the last thing you do. Right? So that's where we start. We apply this exponential rule. Okay? Right here. This is one of those multi-part problems, right? You want to use the sum rule, as it's called, right? You're just adding some stuff, the changes add. Okay. The
change in the sum is the sum of the changes. That's true even if you're using deltas instead of d's.
Okay.
And then we need to bring in a power rule to handle this one. There's nothing to do, right? I haven't told you anything about x. So when you get down to the differential of x, there's nothing to say except it's the change in x. Until I give you more information about x. Can't go any further. But this one, hit with the power rule. It's going to be 2 times x to the 2 minus 1 dx. Which is more commonly known as 2x dx. Okay, so back over here, I'm going to put some big brackets around it to be extra clear. Taking this exponential, then we're multiplying it by this differential here, which is 2x dx plus a dx. Okay, and the final step is to factor out the dx's. Done. Okay. So that's how a more complicated exponential could look like when you were asked to approximate its change. Now, let's see here. You may sometimes see derivatives, right? We'll talk about those more as the class goes on, right? See, especially if you've seen some calculus before, you've probably seen derivatives before, right? And so the derivative, right, of something like this, this is just x, okay? This is just dE to the x over dx. Great. That's all the derivative means. It's where you divide out, instead of the differential, you divide out the dx from the differential. And the logarithm of x, its derivative, right, would be the differential with the dx divided out. So in that case, what are we going to get here? Let's simplify these. The logarithm differential is dx over x. If you play around with those fractions and simplify, it's a 1 over x. Now, the problem, though, with using these naively is that if it's not just an x there, if it's something more complicated, right, then you'll get into trouble, right? Right? You might say, oh, e to the x has derivative e to the x, okay? But e to the x squared plus x does not have derivative e to the x squared plus x. Right. We computed the differential of this one here. And so if we divided out that dx, so we take the differential which we got here, but then cancel out that dx, we would have this thing here. We would have e to the x squared plus x times 2x plus 1, right? We have this thing. We would not have that. Right? So, what's going on here, right? You know, if you think in terms of derivatives, then this doesn't work because of what they call the chain rule, right? If you're thinking in terms of differentials, it just falls out naturally. If you want to do this computation without any D's, just all primes, then you have to take into account this thing, right? And so instead, if you wanted, you would end up having to do this, right? Instead of if you had divided that differential there by a dx, then you would have just gotten a prime. Right? And this would indeed work out to be, after some work, it does come out to be the correct thing. So if you've done things before with derivatives, just remember, if you have a complicated expression, things can be trickier than they might look at first glance. If you do it with the differentials, you can just kind of mechanically follow the rules and factor out the dx at the end, and it's fine. You get the right answer. If you're trying to use the prime notation, things can be a little more subtle, like that example shows. So you have to watch out. Yeah, it's supposed to be a colon. How about I make it a word? Because.
Yeah. This is the final step. The final step is where you can factor out its own
data. Yeah, yeah.
That's the last step.
Why didn't you turn in, like, how you did over there in the example? Why didn't it look like that at the end? Why doesn't it have the 2x plus 1? No, I got it.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, good. Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to take some pictures. We need to do some examples of the logarithm next.
Very much all the car wash has to be a car wash. NASA is part of the brain. It's like white. Yeah, it's all nasty. Yes, I would blood drain out. I did that the day after I came.
Okay, let's do some stuff with the logarithm now. Show you more than one way to solve this one. I'll start with a kind of just a direct application of these rules here. So thinking of the order of operations, we would multiply x and 5, take the exponential of that, multiply by x, the last thing we do is the logarithm. Okay, so working from the outside in this expression, first we deal with a logarithm rule. Right here. Okay, so we're going to have the differential of the thing that we fed to the logarithm, the input to the logarithm, divided by that very same input. Right? So I just use that rule there. Now in here, I need to figure out the differential of this thing. What rule should I use next?
That's the product rule?
Product rule, right. Because the order of operations, multiply the 5 and the x, take the exponential. The last thing we would do is do the multiplication of x times that thing. Okay, so let's use the product rule. Okay, so we're going to have, I think it's x times the differential of e to the 5x plus e to the 5x times the differential of x. It's always, you know, one times the differential of the other. And you try both combinations. We had that nice little picture with the rectangles to explain the rule last time. There it is again. And this. Okay. Now, I haven't given you any information about x, so I can't do anything further with the dx except factor it out at the end. So that part's done. I can still do some more stuff approximating the change of e to the 5x, because I know how it's related to x. Okay, so we use the exponential rule here. That was that one. This one, I guess we could call it the logarithm rule. Okay. So the rule would just be, let me put big brackets around this thing to help me keep track of what I'm doing here. So I'm just working on that thing inside the brackets here. So I use the exponential rule. I get e to the 5x times the differential of 5x. And I'm going to run out of room. I'm going to move down. Okay.
guess I exponential rule. Okay. Okay, this was one, step two, step three. Okay.
That, there's only one thing left to do. What rule should I use here for the differential of 5x? Yeah, constant multiple rule.
Yeah.
It's not just, it is changing, right? It's not just 5, it's 5 times x, but it's just a constant times something. Okay. So yeah, the fancy name for it is constant multiple rule. You can just factor out constants from the chain, right? If you make something 5 times it's as big, then all the changes of it will be 5 times as big. Okay, so x, e to the 5x, and then all we're doing here is turning that into 5 times dx. I'll put even another pair of brackets around it like that. That's the part I'm focusing on here. Expense of using a lot of whiteboard space, I'm very methodically just filling things in, one step at a time. As you get more comfortable with this stuff, you can compress it and you can accomplish the same computation using less space on the board or the paper. And my calculator doesn't do differentials for me, but it does do derivatives for me. So after I factor out the dx, I can ask my calculator to tell me what's the derivative, and we'll see if I got it right. The only difference is my calculator might simplify the expression, so it might be a little tricky to check if they're really the same. Worst case scenario, plug in some numbers for x and see. See if they're matching. All right. Okay, so we finally are done with all the differentials now. We just have to factor out those dx's. And then maybe we want to simplify it to understand it a little better. Okay? So there's a dx that factors out of that, out of that. So both terms in the numerator, the x times e to the 5x times 5, gets multiplied by dx. And also this e to the 5x gets multiplied by dx. Okay. So if I just want to factor out the dx, I could write something like this. X, e to the 5x times 5, factor out that dx, factor out the other dx, so there's a common factor, so it's safe to factor it out. There we go. Okay. Now, at this point, you're done. Let me show you the optional simplification that might help you if you were interested in, say, comparing it to what a calculator or a computer tells you the derivative is. So there's two terms here in the numerator and a common denominator, so we can break it up. And now I can do some cancellations, and the simplification is huge, right? X's cancel, e to the 5x cancel. I just get 5. The e to the 5x's cancel here as well in the second fraction. So the numerator will just be 1 after I simplify. So it's just going to be 5 plus 1 over x. Why does it come out so simple? Okay. Well, okay. What one thing is lost here? I've lost my dx's. Oops. All
they're back.
Okay, so the derivative is 5 plus 1 over x after you simplify. So if you're interested in derivatives, you'll be writing something like this. That's where you divide out the dx. So if I divided out the dx, I would just get the 5 plus 1 over x from down there. That's all the derivative means. Divide out the differential of the input variable from the differential of the output. It represents kind of a rate of change. How much is the output changing compared to how much the input is changing? All right.
And let's see here. Let's see what my calculator says. My calculator, I do...
So it's a T89, so there's a second and then eight, get the D, and then okay, let me type in the expression there. Logarithm of x times e to the 5 plus x. Then I have to do comma x to tell it to differentiate with respect to x. And my calculator says 1 over x plus 5.
Okay.
So that would be a benefit of simplifying, is if you want to compare your answer with somebody else or with some machine. I think here's exactly what I typed into my calculator. It uses an asterisk for multiplication. Now, some of these things like D open parentheses and E caret, you actually get that with a special key, right? Like second and then eight. And the exponential is like diamond and then X. Anyways, obviously the exact key presses are going to depend on your calculator, right? But this is what my calculator shows me as its interpretation of what I typed in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, okay, so this is great, but I think that the fact that the answer came out so simple should at least make us wonder if there's a simpler way to get there. I mean, why should we have to do so much work, you know, with these five steps, when it's going to come out so simple in the end? Okay. And the answer to how to make it simpler is you have to know more about the logarithm. Okay. So if you remember some rules for exponentiation from high school, like a to the b times c is the same as a to the b to the c, if you put the parentheses in the right place. Those kinds of rules translate into logarithm rules, and you can use them to good effect here. Let me show you what I mean. This one next, I think. Sure. I'm not sure which one I should do next. Pretty sure I got photos of it. Yeah. Let me see here. What time is it? 3:01. Okay. Okay. I'm not exactly up to the schedule of my syllabus. I'm getting a little bit behind schedule because it was going too fast. I could tell. So trying to slow it down a little bit here. I don't want to leave everybody in the dust. So anyways, I'm not exactly covering the same topic that the syllabus says I should be covering today. But, Sorry. The schedule is an estimate of where we'll be, not a perfect estimate. Okay, so some rules, right? This rule, yeah, which for us we should think of it in terms of this, right? We should be thinking that way. I think of the base as being e, because we're especially interested in exponential bases. The special exponential function, right? Not just any exponential. And then, of course, this other rule. You remember? So we would particularly care about this context here. A very similar rule. If the exponent, as it's called, is a difference instead of a sum, then you can express that as a quotient instead of a product. Remember that logarithms undo exponentials, okay? So what I'm going to do, I just remember these rules from high school, and then I take the logarithm of both sides of these equations here, okay? Take the top equation. The logarithm of e to the b times c is going to equal the logarithm of e to the b to the c, so... I guess I wrote that. Here we go. The logarithm of e to the b to the c is equal to the logarithm of what? E to the b times c, which is equal to just b times C. Okay. Right, because here the logarithm undoes the exponential. And you might think, oh, we're not. What good is that? Well, okay. Anyway, let me bring in another letter here. How about? G, random letter here, let G equal e to the b, okay? Then b would be the logarithm of g, right? Exponentials and logarithms are inverse functions. So in terms of this little new letter here, the logarithm of some number g to the c is then... the logarithm of g times c. Okay? So that's a useful logarithm rule. Okay. If you have a logarithm of a power, the logarithm transforms it into this product when the product happens outside the logarithm. And then there's a similar setup here. I might need another letter. About h. Okay? The logarithm, I'll write it as the logarithm of e to the b times e to the c equals the logarithm of e to the b plus c, but the logarithm undoes that exponential, so that's just b plus c. So what do we learn from that? Well, I use these G and H letters to make things a little simpler here. If I agree to call e to the b G and e to the c H, then this says the logarithm of G times H is equal to b plus c, which is the log of G plus the log of H. So
So the logarithm of a product is just the sum of the logarithms. See? So if you have a product inside the logarithm, you can turn it into a sum outside. And then the same thing, very similar thing happened here. I just took three equations just based on high school rules of exponentials, and then I'm just taking the logarithms of both sides of these three equations, and then I'm using that to teach me something. So I learned something about logarithms. Again, logarithm undoes exponential. So my third thing that I learned is very similar. It says that if you have the logarithm of a quotient, so g divided by h this time, then it's equal to a difference. Log of g minus log of h. I'll say one warning though. If you have log of, say, g plus h, or like log of g minus h, those can't be simplified. Okay? If you have a power or a product or a quotient inside the logarithm, you can simplify it like this, but there isn't a nice rule for these. Sorry.
Okay.
So if we use these logarithm rules here,
In this particular example, x times e to the 5x, I actually need to use the middle rule, this rule for logarithms of products. It
can make my life much easier here.
Okay, so
I think what I can do is I can bring this board down. Yeah, bring this board up. I'll show you what I mean.
Okay, so we got these three rules here. The main one I'm interested in is that the one I'm going to use right now is the product one for logarithms. And so I'm going to show you a better way to do that differential. Okay. What we're going to do is, before we do the differential, we're going to simplify it using what we know, or what we're starting to know about logarithms. Okay. So this is a product, right? It's x times that. So instead of working with the differential, I ignore the differential for the moment, and I use this rule. And there's actually one more simplification. Logarithms undo exponentials. So that's just now 5x. Okay? So actually this complicated thing, logarithm of x times e to the 5 times x, is actually a much simpler function in disguise. It's just the logarithm of x plus 5x. Now, use a sum rule. And then for these, to handle these, this is just a constant multiple. This is that logarithm rule we talked about. So it's going to be just, this one is going to be dx over x. This one I can pull the constant multiple dx. And then I can factor out the dx's. And I get 1 over x plus 5 times dx, same as we're getting before. Okay. Let's see here.
Right? Remember we did a bunch of work here, but it wasn't strictly necessary. If you know a little bit more about logarithms, then sometimes, you know, you may want to simplify a formula before you try and compute the differential. So again, over those are the three relevant rules for logarithms. And of course, there are likewise rules you should already know for exponentials.
Okay. Let's see here. I've got to take some pictures of various things at this point. What comes next?
Okay, I think first I should take the backboard. Make sure.
What time is it? I'm probably going to be out of time soon. What have I got? I've got 2 minutes left. All right. By the way, before you leave, do remember to turn in homework for days 1 through 4. All right,
don't forget that. But here's the new homework. Homework 6. Have homework on day 5.
Oh, okay, so it's just by day 6.
Yeah.
Oh, homework day 6.
Exercise to acquaint you with logarithms. So let's see. Okay. You can look up some numbers here and graph. I want the vertical axis to be the natural logarithm of the population, and the horizontal axis to be time. Okay. So do two graphs. On one hand, do the traditional graph, population over time, then do what's called a log scale graph.
Okay.
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 I think that wraps it up for today. If you have any questions, come up and talk to me. Yes?
Can you look up the, or you can look up historical graph?
I would go to something like census.gov or something, or I'd go to Wikipedia. You know, get a table of numbers that you can put into a spreadsheet. That's probably what I do. I know the Census Bureau has numbers that are already in spreadsheet form. It's really easy if you ask them.
Yeah. All U.S. are going to be a particular state.
Well, I don't care so much, you know.
Also,
I mean, the point is to see something with exponential growth and then do some graphs, right? Yes. Yes. If you don't have it stapled, use a paper clip. Yeah.